and praying. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for just time in your presence. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for favor. We thank you for being his life. We thank you for even helping me find out such a place that I can use today, months to come, years to come. Father, we thank you for grace. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak about something that you have laid on our hearts to speak about. Father, we pray that we would speak of you. We pray for less of ourselves and more of you. We pray for utterance. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be our guide, that we would speak words of the scripture. And we said your word is a two-edged sword cutting through joints and marrow. We pray that your word would do its thing and cut through the hearts of your children. Just commit this episode into your hands, O Lord, and we pray for, you know, that your presence to be here, your presence to be felt, that even as much as, you know, we might think that this is just a simple thing, get together conversation, I pray that it would impact lives in Jesus' name. And we just commit everything into your hands. We do not go before you, you go before us. So Father, clear the way and just give us the grace to speak things that you do in our hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I guess I'll do my intro. It's a very simple one, to be fair. But yeah, welcome everyone. This is a different episode because I'm actually in a studio. Usually I say the studio is my bedroom, but I'm actually in a studio today. Shout out to the guests that we're having. I just thank God for that. Today we're going to be speaking on service and servanthood. So what does that mean? Especially in this generation where people are just not keen to serve, everybody's doing by myself. Do we actually understand what service is? Do we understand the significance of service to us as Christians? What servanthood means? What servanthood exemplifies? A lot of us say we are in service, but do we actually know the characteristics and the character traits of someone who is called a bond servant of God? We're going to, you know, dissect that and just talk about that through the life of our guest and everything else that the Holy Spirit laid on our heart to talk about. So I guess I would let you introduce yourself and give you the floor. So today we have our wonderful guest, BB. We know him as BB. You don't really need to know his government, but yeah, we know him as BB. Do you want to introduce yourself to our lovely audience?
Thank you, Solida. Thank you. My name is BB. I grew up in London. Went to school in London. Went to university in the Midlands. Studied economics. University, always imagined I'd go into banking and so on. Didn't go into banking, you know, ventured into other things, and I can see now that, you know, God was leading me the whole time. And you know, he has a reason for everything, so you know, we thank God for where I'm at right now. That's me. I'm a married man as well.
Yes, he is.
Say that first.
He's the husband first.
No, I'm a husband first. I've been married to my wonderful and beautiful wife for coming up to 3 years now. So we thank God for that. Thank God for her life as well.
Yes, thank you so much for that introduction. So actually, what was life like growing up in London? And then when did you then, I guess, start to take your Christian life more seriously? So I guess the question is, what is your background and just how did BB come about?
So London, London's a wild city. Growing up in London, but it was fine. Where I grew up wasn't, you know, it was, we had, so I actually grew up in quite an affluent area. But so I grew up in a council estate. But the council estate that I grew up on was like the opposite of the surrounding area, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it was like a It was like a patch of dark in the midst of all of this light.
Yeah.
And so it was very strange. So I grew up like seeing, literally, there's literally about 2 minutes from my house, probably one of the wealthiest roads in the country.
Wow.
Billionaires from around the world live there and so on. But then where I grew up was
a
complete contrast. You know, you had drug dealers, you had all of that, to gangs, violence, yeah, and so on. You know, but it wasn't as bad as other areas because obviously it was in the midst of quite a lot of wealth, and so I guess it wasn't as bad, I guess. I guess the wealth kind of suppressed the amount of violence that could kind of sprout from the environment.
Wow.
But yeah, it was, I grew up seeing different things, seeing a person living up, next to me, doing things that, obviously are not kind of, legitimate, as it were. But yeah, growing up in London was fine. I went to school in London, school was cool. I went to a boys' school. And my school was, because it was a boys' school, you had people from lots of different areas, so you had boys from close by, boys from far. Also, to have some parents that want their children to go to a boys' school, so they don't mind their children traveling. That's it. It was like a melting pot. Mm-hmm. So you encounter people from very wealthy backgrounds, and you also have people from very, very poor backgrounds as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool. That was an experience going to school. I'll say I quite enjoyed school.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed it not because I was an academic. I just enjoyed it, it was just fun, meeting people, I'd say I enjoyed school. London was cool. What I'd say though is, in terms of like the turning point for me, obviously I said I grew up in a Christian household.
Yes.
Going to church and everything. But I don't know, I just think it's difficult growing up kind of, in London, I believe, to kind of, personally, to have the kind of, have that walk with God right from the beginning.
Yes.
Because there's just a lot of sin.
There's just a lot of sin around you.
Everyone's talking about money. You're made to feel like that's the most important thing in the world.
Yes.
And obviously, where I grew up as well, you have people drug dealing, you have people making money, decent money, but obviously it's illegitimate. But in your head, at the age of 13, 14, you're not thinking this is wrong. You're just thinking, wow, this guy's making money. This guy's looking after his mom at the age of 14. So that kind of thing. And you see people have, nice clothes and so on. And so you just think, so being a Christian or being a good Christian is just not even important or even relevant at that time. And so obviously, kind of growing up, making money, doing well. But then obviously went to university, again, I was kind of mainly just money driven, obviously went there to study, but I've always kind of been, I guess, quote unquote, I don't really like the word. I feel like it's been really watered down that word. I'd call it kind of an entrepreneurial kind of person. So went to university, did bits and bobs there, legitimate bits and bobs. Disclaimer. But then I think after uni, I had an encounter with God. I was at a church, so I went to university in the Midlands. I was there for about a year, and then I moved closer to London, but not to London. So I was living in a place called Newton. And I was attending a church there. And I remember, visiting minister came, and I now know he was a prophet, and I remember he started ministering to me, I think it's cut long story short, essentially that encounter was completely changed the trajectory of my life, I guess that's how we're here today.
That was actually going to be my next question, about how you can go from an environment of rebellion and an environment of just gross darkness, and become somebody who is actually a servant. You know, because when we think about servanthood, it's a complete contrast, you know, going from like an environment like that to then, I would actually class you as a bond servant. Somebody who is a bond servant of God. You are, you love God, you are submitted to God, you're, you know, you're, you don't make moves without asking God, that type of person. That is, a servant is someone who is submitted to authority, right? So how does somebody go from, you know, that kind of environment, when we say our environment actually shapes us, to becoming, you know, someone who I'd actually class as a proper servant of God? Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, I think I should probably say this before. So even though I grew up, you know, where you know, on the council estate where you know where I was raised, my mom and dad did a very good job of not allowing me to just be outside. So while my peers and stuff were outside doing all sorts and everything, I wasn't. And people that grew up with me would tell you that, like Beebe's dad doesn't let him out. Now, you know that kind of thing. And so you know, the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go and you want to depart from it.
Yes.
My mum and dad did a very, very good job of ensuring that I was not swallowed by the environment.
Wow.
You know, and when I think now to, you know, some other people that I grew up with and so on, and I look at their lives and so on, you know, God bless them and, you know, I wish them all the best and everything, but, you know, that could very easily have been me.
Yeah.
100%. You know, just even just because of my makeup, the way I am, you know, I'm a go-getter by God's grace. And so, but the issue is when you place a go-getter
in that type of environment
there's one of two you know, outcomes. It's either you end up dead or you end up in prison.
Wow.
Right? That's what happens. You know, and so but my parents did a very good job, you know. When I was growing up, I didn't understand it. You know, I wanted to go meet this friend. I wanted to do this one, but they kind of shielded me. And so doing that essentially gave me a chance.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
To become all that God had called me to be.
I love that.
So it's like, it's like foundations, right?
Yes.
So they, so you're a kid, right? You're not responsible for your foundation, but your parents, you know, play a massive role in kind of nurturing you and making sure that you're given the best start in life. And that's why parenting is so important. You know, and so, you know, as we were talking, I was just thinking to myself, you know, my dad was very protective of me. And, you know, I remember, you know, literally, you know, my dad would then let me, there was one of my friends that he would literally wait outside my block for us to walk to school. And my dad would literally look at him. Like, he would shout my name. And then my dad would literally open the curtain, look at him and tell him to go. And so, obviously what I did to obviously get around that circumvent that is that I told him, right, don't just wait around the corner, right? I'll come out at a certain time and then we'll, you know. But it's just an example just to show you that my dad was very particular about shielding me from the environment and making sure that I didn't get involved in things I shouldn't be getting involved in.
Yeah.
And so as a result, I guess I was kind of given a better chance than those that were around
everyone
me.
Else,
you know,
yeah.
My mom, of course, praying for me a lot, making sure, you know, that she was kind of molding me in the place of prayer, my dad doing the same, you know. And so I think by the time I then started to mature, you know, I wasn't so far gone. And that's not to say that someone so far gone can't make it back, but it's a lot easier.
Yes.
Does that make 100%. Sense? And so I wasn't so far. And so by the time I've matured now, I've gone to uni, I've not kind of, I'm still, my soul is still semi-intact. And it was easier for God to kind of draw you in. Does that make sense? And so that's what I said.
Yeah, and you definitely, you said so many things that I'm writing notes actually. I'm not just eating my food. But you mentioned there's something that came to mind when you were speaking about the effect of a home on your child. And Toby and I kind of touched on that when we did the episode that we did. But just the significance of, you know, a home and the father and mother being present in the home on the child. But it also even segued into the fact of understanding sonship before you can become a servant, right? In the body of Christ, you need to understand your position first as a son, and then you understand that serving God should not then be something that you're struggling to do. Because when you first understand your position as a son and how you got to being a son, then it would actually be your reasonable service to serve God.
That's it.
So all of those things are coming to mind. And then even the aspect of, you know, telling people that they're not so far gone. I know I'm skipping, jumping, but my brain is. But yeah, even the aspect of, you know, people understanding that they're not so far gone. And it speaks to, you know, the first scripture I got for this podcast in Jeremiah 29, when it was talking about he would bring them back from captivity, and he would gather them from where they were exiled to. And if they call upon the name of the of God, he would answer them. If if they pray to him, he will answer them. And this is just for anybody who is just listening. Maybe you saw a clip online, I don't know. But I'm feeling to go this direction just for a little bit, that even if you feel like you're so far gone, you actually are not. Because God, he literally leaves the 99 to go and get the one. And that was even one of the core parts of season two of this podcast. God telling me that he actually wants to draw his children back in. Right? So there's a need for salvation. There's a need for evangelism. There's a need for people to return back to their first love. So I really, I love the way that you segued into that unknowingly, because that is the core essence of season two, and asking people to share their salvation story, because it shows people that I was once this person, and I once, like, you know, was idolizing maybe money, or I was obsessed with other things, but now I'm this person in Christ, and God has made me who I am now. So that was just a quick segue for the moment. But I guess my next question would be, you know, Romans 12, chapter 1, verses 2, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The first question I would say is, what does that mean to you? And then the second question, just to go after that, is, what does a servant of God exemplify?
Yeah, so I think, yeah, that's probably one of my favorite scriptures, actually.
Wow.
I think for me, it means, you know, I used to think the scripture was just about your physical body. Right, about, you know, offering your body as a living sacrifice. And that's right, it is. And so let me elaborate on that. Essentially, not getting involved in immorality.
Yes.
Right. So it's like sexual immorality and stuff like that. So that was always my kind of, that was my interpretation of that scripture.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, it's not just about
your physical
body.
Yes.
It's about your life.
Mm.
Right. You're only alive in this frame of reference. When I say frame of reference, I mean we have two frames of reference. We have time and we have eternity.
Yes.
Right. So in time, you can only exist in time so long as you have a body.
Yes.
If you don't have a body, then you don't exist in time.
Yeah.
And sure, when it says offer your body, it means offer your time here on earth.
Wow, I've never seen it in that light.
Yeah.
You're going to need to keep expanding.
It means offer your time here on earth as a living sacrifice. So it means everything you do with this body that you've been gifted, right, should be what Jesus would have done if he had your body here on earth.
Guys, I don't even know what to say, because I don't think I've ever thought about it in that sense, because... Yes, when it says offer your body a living sacrifice, and you understand your body is here for a time, it means offer everything in and of yourself, everything that encompasses you.
That's it.
As a living sacrifice.
It's your life. It's not just it's your life that you're offering. So because there are people that offer their body, so they don't drink, they don't do it, they don't get involved in sexual morality, they don't.
Yeah.
But their whole life is spent chasing money.
Yeah.
So you haven't offered your body as a living sacrifice.
Hmm.
So you can know that it's actually your. It's God doesn't want just your body; He wants your entire life. Yeah. And so that scripture is about Jesus dying on the cross for you. And so, in dying for you, what happened is that when you give your life to Christ, you take His identity.
Yes, you do.
And so you cannot when you take somebody's identity. You know, I've heard a minister of God say this before, use this example, and he says, If let's say, for example, you had a bad record, right? And you no longer wanted to be sorry with that, because sorry with that, if you're any sorry with that, I even think, my pastor, Pastor Lab, he's said something before as well, if you have a bad record and you know that using your name to go, will get you in trouble, will land you in prison.
Yeah.
Right? What you could do is that you could change your identity. Right? And if you changed your identity and took my identity, for instance, let's say I had a good name and took my identity,
yes,
then that will enable you to live your life and go about
and do things, yeah.
Now, if you then decide to go around using your identity, after taking my identity, then you're putting yourself in trouble.
Wow.
But if you don't use your identity and you live as I.
And you adopt
my, not just my identity, but my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't take my identity and then start living your life the way you were living it.
Yeah.
When you had your own identity. No, you have to take not just my identity, but my entire lifestyle, my way of life. So maybe I was working at a bank, you have to work at a bank. So
true.
That's it. You have to take my whole identity.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you don't and you start trying to play for the lives, then what happens is that you could be found out.
Yeah.
You could be found out and be like, oh no, this person is not being this person, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you take my life, you take my lifestyle, my choices, everything about your life, right? And about what you do should be what I would do and what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same way when we come into Christ. You take Jesus' identity, when he died, you took his identity, and so your entire life should be lived exactly how Jesus would have lived.
Yeah.
And how do you know how Jesus would have lived? You have to listen, you have to harp into his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus says, leave that job, you leave. Because you're not yourself.
Yeah.
You're him.
You have his identity.
You've taken on a new identity.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus says, leave that guy that you're talking to, or leave that girl that you're talking to, you leave. Even if it's hard, why? Because you're not your own.
Yeah.
You've been bought with a price.
Yeah.
And so that is really what that scripture is about. Actually, your entire life is on the altar.
Wow.
And your preoccupation is to know the will of God and to perform it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's very interesting that we are going through this way before we get to the topic of servanthood per se, because you actually need to first be brought into the body to become a servant. You cannot be a servant outside of the body of Christ. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Right? There is a... And thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm so happy that we went this way, because there's a necessity for you to first come into the body before and, take up the identity of God and understand your position in the body before you can become a servant.
That's
you
it.
Cannot become a servant with a warped mentality.
That's it, yeah.
Right? You need to know the master that you are serving, so your characteristics cater to your master.
Yeah.
I'm becoming very passionate, guys. So there's actually a need for you to not just first come into the body and be in the body, but know your position in the body. Take up your position as a son. Have an identity rooted in Christ first before you can then, say that you want to please God in the things that you do, right? It is not by your works. It's actually the posture of your heart. So has your heart gone through that renewal? Has your mind, is your mind going through that renewal? Are you going through the renewal for you to then get to a point where you say that, okay, I'm actually giving, it wouldn't be reasonable to you as a service if you don't understand the foundation of things, essentially. Thank you for taking us on that segue. Okay, I guess the next question is, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but when you say you're a servant, what does that mean?
Servant, it's an interesting word.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why it's an interesting word for me in particular. Before I gave my life to Christ, so I actually don't remember when I gave my life to Christ,
mm-hmm.
but I remember when I rededicated my life to Christ.
Yeah, okay.
Because
but
I'd say I
really, there was a moment
when things changed. I remember I was at something called Festival of Life. which is London's version of the RCCG Holy Ghost Nights in Nigeria. So I remember, I can't remember which one it was that I went to, but I remember I went there and I gave my life to, and I rededicated my life to Christ. Mm-hmm. So I went up there, Pastor Ia Adeboye, kind of made an altar call, and I went up and I kind of rededicated my life to Christ. But before then, the idea of being a servant just didn't really sit well with me. For me, so
I'm being in service.
So obviously, service is a word that we use. It's a word that we use obviously in the body of Christ. But actually, it's not just in the body of Christ that the word service is used. Service is a kind of a secular word, mm-hmm. right? That you know applies to different walks of life. And so for me, like I wanted to be a boss. I wanted to be in charge. It comes naturally to me to just lead and just make the decisions. Mm-hmm. It's why, you know, for as long as I can remember, everybody that knows me knows I never ever wanted to have a 9-to-5 job.
Wow.
Never. And in fact, it just...
that's not my thing.
No. And you know what it is? It's not... I used to say it was because of money, but actually, when I was young, I used to say that, oh, no, you don't make as much money if you have a 9-to-5 job. And it depends, right? But actually, as I've grown older, I've realized that it was not so much the money. It's the idea of just being in control of my time. Right, and so I never wanted, and so the idea of going somewhere and somebody telling me what to do and telling me do this and go, your lunchtime is at this time and you have to come in at this time and work at this time and telling me no, it's just mm-hmm. so, but that's service, right? That, yes. You know, that the idea that you know, you're under authority and somebody mm-hmm. kind of gives you instructions and you abide by them. And so
that's why this topic suits you.
it really does because I've done a complete, like, I wouldn't say 360 because I'm not back where I was before, but like I guess like a 180, like completely. Yes. Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? And so the idea of serving was just insane. But as what is very interesting, obviously, as like when I gave my life to Christ, obviously coming to church and a massive part of being in the body of Christ is that you serve.
Yes, you do.
Right, and so
not servants. That's
the other. And so now I'm kind of, you know, in my secular life. As an outside of church life,
yes.
You know, I don't, you know, I don't have like an ordinary kind of job,
mm-hmm.
In that regard, where kind of I'm having to like serve and so on, you know. But obviously in church, I'm under authority. I'm serving, you know.
Yeah.
And so the reason I say that is because it's enabled me to really see what service is all about. And service is literally just, I guess, making yourself available, right, for a higher purpose.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you're leading or not.
That's a good point to stop, because mm-hmm. lots of people feel like they can't serve in their proper capacity if they're not on the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, everybody doesn't know their face and, you know, you're not on the pulpit and you're not, you know, the GO's right-hand man. I see. You know, like, your service is not, not good enough. I think, you can definitely touch on that.
So, yeah, like, literally, I'm just available.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be in charge. Because actually, I might not have all the best ideas.
Right.
It's about the purpose. It's about the agenda, right? It's about the mission, right? And actually, when you buy into a mission, whether you receive applause or not is irrelevant, because your own desire is to see the mission accomplished.
Exactly. Yes.
And so, for me, service in the body of Christ is, what's the mission? The mission is, Jesus said, you know, we should make disciples of nations,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, whether I lead or not, right, is not really the determiner.
Yes.
Whether I have the mic and on the pulpit or not, is not really the determiner,
mm-hmm.
right? My own is actually just play my part.
Yeah.
Now, if playing my part, play well. If playing my part is, means that I'll be an usher, then no problem. If playing my part means that I'll have a pulpit ministry or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then, but it's God that will decide.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And so for me, service is just making yourself available regardless.
Yeah.
Now, of course, right, it's nuanced, right? In service, yes, make them available. There will be times where maybe you can't.
Yeah, capacity.
It's important
and
to
stuff, yeah.
rest and all that kind of stuff. But when somebody looks at your life and they can see that, you know what, this person is 8 times out of 10 is available
mm-hmm.
to do whatever needs to be done
mm-hmm.
for the mission to be accomplished, that person is in service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. I think the part that has really stuck out to me is making yourself available for the mission. That is actually service.
Mm.
Are you available for the master's need?
Mm.
What's that scripture when it says loose the cords for the master, the master's need?
Mm.
Like God actually needs everybody in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are not taking up their position.
Mm-hmm.
So people are carrying the burdens of other people. But
yeah.
if you make yourself available in the body for the mission, you'll be used.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, this person is God's favorite and they literally made themselves available for the master's use.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why God has then exalted them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You cannot compare yourself to somebody like Dunsi Oyeko
if
you have not started if you have not even made a decision to you know, make yourself available for the master's use. Are you spending time with God? Are you spending intimate time with God? Are you letting God, you know, if God calls on you now, I want to speak to you, would you drop everything for God?
Mm-hmm.
That is servanthood. That is your life being a reasonable service to God.
And
right?
I'll just add to that as well, is that's important, is it's not just, so making yourself available is step one.
Yes, it is.
Now step two, and I think step two is probably the most important, because it's possible to how would I put it? It's possible to serve and be lax in your service and to be indifferent in your service.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
The quality of your service is very, very important. Because, you know, we know from the scriptures that it's God doesn't look at the outward appearance,
yes.
or the outward actions. You're running around helter-skelter doing
the activity.
No, God is not into activity. Activity is important, but it's important and it's relevant and it's potent to the extent that your heart is right, that you're serving because you actually really want to.
Yeah.
Not because somebody's forcing you or whatever. Now, there'll be times when you're tired and maybe, you know, but by and large, what's the state of your heart? Because the state of your heart will affect the quality of your service.
Mm.
Right? If you're just serving because, you know, you feel like, oh, I have to do it and I don't really want to do it, you're grumbling and God will not accept it.
Because
not everybody's service that God accepts.
Accepting.
No, he doesn't accept everybody's service.
Guys, I'm just thinking about my life. And I'm running my life through my brain
literally,
at the moment.
There
yeah.
are people in church today who are serving with their whole, and God does not accept it.
Hmm.
And he doesn't, because of the heart factor. People, you know, people don't understand how important that the heart factor is.
Yeah.
That everybody else can see you doing the most. And actually, you're getting awards for your service. You're getting applause for your service. You're getting promoted for your service.
Yeah, but are you serving from a place?
Are you serving?
Of...
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you really? And so service is... There's the two parts. It's the availability,
mm-hmm.
but then also the quality of your service, how you are actually serving. And so the two things together is really what service is all about, right? So it's true service.
Yeah, and I think that's a good part to, you know, kind of hang on. Guys, I'm very sober because I'm actually thinking about myself as well, you know. Most times when we think about service and being a servant, we think activities.
Mm.
And we go straight to, am I in this department? Am I in this?
Mm.
Am I doing this?
Mm.
And blah, blah.
Mm.
And, but what is actually the intention behind it? One. Two, are you serving from a place of willingness?
Mm.
Or do you see it as just another task?
Mm.
Like, are you grumbling to serve?
Mm.
Is this always a struggle to serve God?
Mm.
Is it always tasking to serve God?
Mm.
That is not a good place to serve
That's
from.
It. Yeah.
And I think it's something that you need to, whoever it is, But we all need to sit with, are we serving from a place where it's like, oh, this is so burdensome, and this is so this, and this, and like,
the Bible says that, so it says that we should give with a joyful heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and service is you're giving yourself.
Yeah.
People don't realize. I don't understand how somebody can come to church for 10 years and you're giving your substance, but you don't give your life, you don't give your time.
Mm.
That's what you call deficient.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's deficient because if you're all you're giving is, see, look, it's very, imagine you're dating a guy now, whatever, and he buys you stuff, he takes you out, he sends you gifts, flowers, whatever you want, watches, but when it comes to spending quality time with you, he doesn't give his time. No, that's not a guy that loves you. And so, now, the giving of gifts is important, by the way, right? But if you're all you're giving is your substance, you can't give your time. No. I call that, and it's all service, by the way, right? Giving money, your sub, it's a type of service, right? But it's deficient service if that's all you're doing. You're not giving your time. And so both are very, very, very important. But it's important to do it with a joyful heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. We should give our substance, we should give our time with a joyful heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't give it with a joyful heart,
then there's no point.
Yeah. And so now, look, the truth of the matter is, we all go through things in life.
Yes, we do.
And we can come to a point in our service, maybe after 5 years of fervent service, you just get worn out. So take a break if you need to. But don't make the mistake of being in service for too long while grumbling, because God will not accept it. It's better that you take a step back and say, you know what, right now,
I need to check myself.
Now, don't step back for too long.
Yeah.
And say that, oh, you know, because a lot of people are like, I'm worn out, and so, and then I need a break. And that break turns into a 10-year hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
No. God can't be mocked.
Yeah.
If you need to take a break, take a break.
You
need to take a break, take a break. So that, and then check your heart and just spend time with God. And in that break, be in your secret place.
And I think that's the thing, because you know sometimes you try and pour out from an empty place.
Yeah.
You can't serve without
No.
It's the biggest error to think that you can serve from an empty place, essentially. Like, you've not, in the background, you're not being intimate with God. You're not spending time with God. You're not seeking out the face of God. You're not speaking to God. Your service is not quality.
I'm sure you just said that. See, your service will lack quality if you're not spending time with God.
Yeah. They feed into one another.
Your service will lack. Now, it may not even lack complete quality. You may also, because the truth of the matter is, look, a lot of the things that we do in church, that people do in church, they do for their companies, right? Administration and so on. So what makes your service in church different?
Wow.
What makes your service in church different?
Wow.
It's the fact that you have spent so much time with God.
With God,
that now when you come and serve,
you're drawing from the well.
And so in the way you're serving, there's a difference. You're serving with an anointing. And so even while you're doing those accounts, the anointing of God is upon you. The anointing that was placed upon you while you were in your room, spent praying in the Spirit, you're now doing. And so there are certain things that you might do in your place of work, whatever, or maybe errors you might make, or maybe things you might miss, or maybe while you're doing it for church, the wisdom of God
comes
is enabling you. And so you should be in that secret place.
You will find it strenuous if you're not serving from the secret place, if you're not drawing from that well, because that's when you start serving just because you're not serving from a place of love, you're not serving from a place of intimacy, you're not serving from a place of understanding, you're just doing works. And that is what a lot of us miss when it comes to this topic of, you know, service and servanthood. We neglect the area of intimacy when it comes to being a servant. Because if you're trying to, you know, do things to please your master. You would need to have spent time with your master to know what he likes. So there's the fact of intimacy being the foundation of your service before you start doing the works and the activity. And the works and the activity are good, don't get us wrong, right? But we are building a holistic believer. You can't just be somebody who thinks, oh, I'm just going to serve and be here.
And the Bible says, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus said, many will say,
I did this in your name.
I did this in your name, Lord, Lord. And I'm just telling them, listen, move. I don't know you.
Wow.
See, God does not know people because of their service. No. God knows people that spend time with him. Don't think that because you serve Monday to Friday, that God knows you, that you know God, you don't. No. You only know God in the secret place. Intercourse in the secret place. See, in my house, right? You know, so when we are
looking. Don't get us twisted, sorry. Your service counts for something.
Oh, no, it counts.
Your labor is worthy of Your service counts. We're not trying to say that, you know, because I'm sure there are some people that have not grown up in church and you don't know some of the things that we are, you know. Or you don't have the background, or you don't have the knowledge. You don't have the knowledge, right? It's not that, okay, I'm serving you. They're saying we should serve. I'm serving now. You're saying my service does not count. No. What's the word? If you have heard the word, please help me out.
The service counts.
Yeah.
It counts. But, look, the example that God just gave me, God just gave me is, when I can't remember who it was, when it was Martha or Mary, I'm not sure which one.
The one that was sitting at the feet of the Father.
Thank you.
The other one was.
And Jesus said, you're worried about many things.
Wow.
Those things are good, but she has chosen that. Essentially, Jesus was saying that she's chosen the most important thing.
Yes.
She's chosen the most important thing. The most important thing is sitting at the feet of the Father. So, service is important and it's very good. I want your listeners to...
Live with that clarity.
No. But there's something more important.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Yes.
More important than ministry in your local church is ministry... To God. There's a massive difference.
Yeah.
How do you minister to God? You minister to him when you spend time with him. When he spends time with you, you spend time with him and he gives you an instruction and you're able to live out that instruction.
Yes.
That's ministry.
It is. And it goes back to the scripture about presenting your body as a living sacrifice.
Thank you.
It's when you first do that that the things of ministry and the activities of ministry can flow out of that. If you don't first get that part right,
it's tough. I was gonna say, in my house we have a two bedroom flat, and so when we were looking for a place to stay, obviously, it was just the two of us, and so I guess one could say, oh, we just need one bedroom.
One bed, yeah.
And I said to my wife from the beginning, I said, look, we need a two-bedroom place. Why? Because one of the rooms will be my prayer room.
I agree with that.
Right?
So I agree with that.
If I'm going to have a room for me and you, if we're going to have a room, if me and you are going to have them as a married couple, then I'm also married to another.
Yeah.
You know, I also have a relationship with another, a very close relationship that I'm trying to cultivate. And so...
I'm also in service to another.
And actually, in order for me to be the best version of myself in this marriage, I need to spend a lot of time with Jesus. And so, I need a room for me and him. Yes.
Yeah.
Just me and him. It's our space. And so I was very particular. She didn't understand at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But now she has come.
Oh, no, yes.
She's come to understand.
You definitely come into the understanding.
Yeah.
It's reminding me as well, when we were growing up and my parents were building the house that we had, my parents made it a thing to build a prayer room as well.
That's it.
And I'm thinking... you know, you can just convert that into one of the rooms for us. Why are me and my sister sharing a room? Yeah, and there's a prayer room. Hello. But the house, the foundation of our house, don't get it twisted, was built on prayer.
That's it.
It was the fundamentals of the Elias household was literally built, and that's why, like he said, if you train up a child in the way of God, they would not depart from it. If they didn't have that prayer, would I be here now?
Yeah, no, it's important. Yeah. So for me, I said, I have to have a prayer room. Now, so my prayer room is where I go to meet with him. And so that's where we have intercourse.
Yeah.
Right? That's where he'll speak to me and I'll speak to him and he'll tell me I don't like this, I don't like the way I don't like what it's where I'll battle with him, I'm struggling with something and God has told me to do something and or I feel like he's displeased about something but it's, my flesh is just fighting and that's where we you know.
Yeah.
And it's in that place that I receive strength to serve.
Very true.
That's where we can't talk about serving because I think it's we also in the body of Christ, we talk about service a lot and do this. I don't think you can talk about service without talking about the secret place.
Yes.
No.
I agree with that.
The two come. Moses.
I agree with that.
Served his generation. In fact, I don't have time.
Yeah, to dissect it.
See, Joseph. I said Joseph. Moses was the first king of Israel. He was the first king of Israel. Yeah. Now, I don't have time to press that, right? But he was actually the first king of Israel.
Yeah. The first person assigned.
That, yes. Because the kingship is, you understand?
I get it.
He was the first king of Israel. Right? The Bible says something along the lines of he was king in Jeshurun. Right? Jeshurun was the olden way of saying Jerusalem. So he was the first king of Israel. So he served his generation as not just a prophet, not just as a priest, but as a king.
Yeah.
Moses was prophet, priest, and king. Right? And he served his generation. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Captivity.
He gave them the laws of God. He taught them the ways. He tried to teach them the ways of, you know, how, what God expected in terms of how to give sacrifices and so on and what God would like, what God wouldn't like. In terms, that was Moses. But what do we know about Moses? He spent 40 days and 40 nights. And so the only reason Moses was able to lead his generation in that way was because
he was on the mountaintop.
Yeah. He spent a lot of time. You know, Moses would go into the tabernacle of meeting and the children of Israel would peek out and they would look and see. They wouldn't go there themselves. He would go. Now, obviously, in the new covenant, we're all supposed to have.
Yeah,
but
have
then it was, they said, no, Moses, you speak to God. You go and do. And you go and have the relationship with God. And we will have the relationship with God through you. That was never God's intention.
Yeah.
Right? But Moses, and so Moses was able to serve his generation because he knew God.
When he came down from the mountain, that scripture that's coming to mind, and he said his face his face was shining because he had spent time with God, and that was when he could then go and minister to the people of God. But it's even reminding me of a time where, you know, I was serving in my fellowship group and, you know, doing things, doing activities, and there was a time I was just speaking to God. I didn't know how to pray, but I was like, it's quiet time, I'm still going to do it. And I was just like, God, I don't want to serve. Like, I am tired. I am so tired. Give me the grace. You know, quicken my spirit. Allow me do this with love. Like, let me not get to a point where I'm like, oh, I'm serving again. Oh, my God, I'm doing this again. But I wouldn't have known that if I did not go to the secret place.
Yes. Yeah.
If I decided, okay, that day I'm not doing my 6 a.m. or I'm not going to pray.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't have been highlighted to me, or I wouldn't have had that time to speak to God about it, and Him then break it down for me. Okay, you're tired, you're doing this, okay, you should do this.
That's it.
Okay, I will help you with this, I will give you the grace for that. It stems from the secret place.
And you see that secret, in that secret place, see, one of the things that the Spirit of God has taught me is that I'm not actually serving my team lead.
No, you're not.
I'm not serving the pastor of my no.
You're not.
And see, when I'm serving in the house of God, it's ultimately a service unto God.
It is.
And so if you have that mentality, you realize that actually, that's why, look, I don't need someone to give me an applause.
No.
No. When I go to my prayer room and I have an audience of one. And so when I stand before him, if he gives me an applause, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Listen, as you grow with God, you know, he'll be able to hear his voice and you'll be able to know when he's pleased and when he's not pleased.
Yes, you
no.
Will.
You see, and that's why I always say to people, you know, and I just don't mean to add this, you know, if you're a born-again Christian, you know, and you're listening to this, please, please develop a culture of praying
yes.
in the Spirit. Because that's the way to know. That's how your spirit will be sensitive enough, will be elevated enough to catch what God is saying per time.
Yes, emphasis on the per time. Last month, I'm not cause for June or
July.
That's it.
Per time.
Yeah.
You understand? And so, as you pray and pray. God will register his pleasure or displeasure on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if God is saying to me or to you or whatever, or whoever's listening, if you know for sure that God is pleased, and don't assume, by the way, that God is pleased with your service. Don't assume that God is pleased with your service. Right? Go and check.
Mm-hmm.
Go and check. Say, God, okay, how do you think I'm serving? How do you think things are going? And That's how you'll know what level your service is at.
Yeah.
It's Jesus that will give you the grade of your service. And as you spend time and as you pray on it, then you'll know that, okay, this is what I need to work on.
Yeah.
This is where I need to improve. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm an A. This is where I'm a C.
A, B, C, yeah, or D. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, guys, we need to run off. I really wish we could stay for much longer. And I wish it was, you know, somewhere else so we could have extended our time a bit more, but this conversation has been very apt and amazing, and I just thank God for the time that we've had to talk about this, because I've even gotten revelation and I'm sitting with things and thinking of things. But yeah, thank you so much for coming. Thank
no, no
you
problem at all.
To you, thank you for your time. Thank you to your wife for releasing you to come. Thank you to the Holy Spirit as well for co-signing this. I really appreciate it. Thank
no
you so much. And for everybody listening, I just pray that you guys would, you know, live with a word that is specific to you, pertaining to you in this time, and just hearken to the voice of God in general. Yes, thank you everyone. Bye.